the rest of the story. They were some of the baddest, hardest times that ever came upon us. The Great Depression of the 1930s. And yet, while it was all that most folks could do to look out for themselves, there was one very rich man who took the public welfare into his own hands. He was so rich, so financially diversified, that the stock market crash barely affected him. In this, he felt he had been blessed. And so, in the autumn of 1930, he secured a huge old building in the city, and he created what must have been the world's largest soup kitchen. I mean, big. A sign out front said, "Free food for the workless," and inside, 3,000 unemployed were fed every day. After 120,000 meals had been served, folks stopped counting. At Thanksgiving, 5,000 turkeys were provided. At Christmas, an overwhelming celebration. And this is particularly significant. The benefactor tried to remain anonymous. When questioned, relief workers simply announced that a well-known philanthropist was behind it all. Well, in the wake of widespread and increasing gratitude, people became increasingly curious as to the identity of this philanthropist. So newspaper reporters went looking for Mr. Gooddeed. And they found him, this very rich man, and he proclaimed this message for all of the nation's very rich men. He said honor and truth and the law were falling from public respect. He said he feared that communism would seize its opportunity to seduce the American worker. And the remedy, Mr. Gooddeed declared, was the generosity of America's wealthy. He said, "We can't wait for Congress or Mr. Hoover." Herbert Hoover, of course, was then president. He said, "We can't wait for Congress. We can't wait for Mr. Hoover or anyone else. We must help to keep tummies filled and bodies warm if any of us are to survive." That's a quote. To many people, the revelation of Mr. Gooddeed's identity came as no surprise. Because months prior to his benevolent gesture, I mean, months before, the Medill School of Journalism had voted him among the 10 outstanding personages in the world. I mean, right up there with George Bernard Shaw and Henry Ford and Lindbergh and Gandhi and Einstein. He was remarkably accessible as celebrities go. He loved baseball games and horse races. He was sometimes cheered by thousands of sports fans as he entered a stadium, often mobbed by well-wishers hoping to shake his hand. He supported the Boy Scouts. He sided with motion picture censors and anxious parents, anybody seeking to abolish gangster movies. He said they're doing nothing but harm to the youngsters of this country. But when it came to charity, he did more than pontificate. He contributed. He put his money where his mouth was. And now you'll always remember the man who opened a mammoth soup kitchen for the jobless in November of 1930 in Chicago. The great public benefactor, the thoughtful philanthropist who saw welfare as a remedy for communism, Mr. Gooddeed. Al Capone? Al Capone. And now you know the rest of the story.